We talk expectations for all the big games this season, race for the case, and free Miller Moss.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
1 hour by Tumbleweed.
Ross Dellinger.
Good job, Miller Moss. You know, the old fart in the pillow routine.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Yeah, that's right. Old Gundy's telling the truth.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and plenty of football here. Week two coming, but I got to get to scandal. You know we love scandal here. This is a scandal
pod. It's our go-to.
It is our go-to. Yes. And we've been worried that scandal's going to go away. Now you can just pay all the players. We're happy the players are getting money, but it does cut down on the drama. But that old TMZ, our friends at the TMZ, did an investigation and discovered this. I'm going to write the follow-up story here from the venerable LA Times. A dispute between USC star quarterback Miller Moss and his roommate, and this is the LA Times is reporting this, ex-Trojan quarterback Mo Hassan escalated to the point that the university investigated the, quote, feud in early 2022. It was resolved through the student conduct resolution process. No police or anything ever happened. So we're now down to investigating whether two roommates got in an argument.
Great. Perfect.
It's never happened before in college.
Enthralling.
Yeah. You put two people in a cinder block box
for 9 months who don't know each other
and are competing for the same job. Maybe. Yeah. Thank you, TMZ, for this important work. I think it was really good that we got this out of the way. Don't tell the Heisman Trust, because if Miller Moss ever wins this thing, he may get stripped. But that said, there's a lot here. In the video, which was first obtained by TMZ, Moss can be seen telling someone off camera that he's going to steal this shirt, dude. So he's going to take his roommate's shirt. There's a t-shirt. Steal, maybe return. And then this is where it really gets going. He grabs a pillow off the bed. I'm reading this from the venerable LA Times. Placing it behind his butt and releasing what appears to be a fart. This was written in the LA Times. He took his roommate's pillow and farted into it. Pat, diabolical behavior there. Miller has apologized, said he cooperated fully with the investigation by the school. What is happening, Pat?
We can't have these things in college athletics. We cannot. This is a great danger to the fabric and the values of college sports when we have roommates passing gas on each other's pillows. I'm shaken. I'm shaken, Dan. I don't know how to respond to this.
We did much worse things in college than pass gas on each other's pillows, I can guarantee you. There were much, much worse things that happened in our dorm room in our college home, which I won't get into right now. But good job. Good job, Miller Moss. You know, the old fart in the pillow routine. I like it.
Does it stay in there hours later? I mean, not acceptable behavior. It's bad roommate behavior. I think we can all agree on that. However, like we said, what do you expect with a bunch of dudes in a dorm room?
Yeah. It's jerk behavior, no doubt about it. But, yes. What's the shelf life of that gas on the pillow? Like, is Mo Hassan, if this happened at 2 in the afternoon, he comes back at 10. I'm thinking the danger is past. There's going to be no asphyxiation. threat at that point, but what do I know?
This is the kind of breakdown that the College Football Inquirer will provide you. Worth noting who Mo Hassan was, and maybe a little backdrop on this feud. Now, he's most famous for playing at numerous colleges, never actually played at USC, including going to Vanderbilt, where he had 17 pass attempts in his career as a backup. Yet last year, he was the guy who claimed the Italian mob had come to him and offered him $300,000 to fix college football games when he was with the Vanderbilt Commodores, which is would be an
that's right.
If he can fix games while not playing, he's worth a lot more than $300,000. He said, he said, this is his thing. He said the mobster came to him at Jason Aldean's kitchen and rooftop bar in on Broadway in Nashville. He was approached by a mobster who said other SEC players had been offered between 250 and 300 to fix games. He said Alabama was one of the schools. This is a quote from Hassan. He said, "We regularly talk to guys at your position about fixing games." He named guys in the SEC who I don't want to say their names because they're in the NFL right now, but University of Alabama, I'll tell you that. He said almost every game in the SEC is rigged. Gee, I don't know. Anyone heard of any Alabama quarterbacks who went to the NFL?
Yeah. Geez. Yeah, I don't know who would be on that list.
I never heard of it.
Secondly, I didn't see Alabama tanking a lot of games.
Well, you know. Point shade. I don't know. Well, this is, you know, then when everyone ripped Mo Hassan for saying he was offered the mobs just tossing 300 G's around. To backups at Vandy, he said, for those of you in my mentions saying the mob doesn't need to pay off Vandy because we've lost a lot, you must not be familiar with prop bets, LOL.
Okay. Still hard to engineer a prop bet from the bench. I'm curious how he did that. If, watch, I'm going to only complete 40% of my passes. Oh, but what if you attempt zero passes?
I think this guy deserved to have his pillow crop dusted by Miller Moss. I think Miller Moss was doing the world of
he did a service.
He knew early.
He might have. He might have
the early call on this ridiculousness. If you had to live with a guy who's telling you these stories all year, you might get pushed over the brink. Free Miller Moss.
I will say that now the other video of Miller, like, telling people to just come in and, like, take stuff out of Moa's closet.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what all the context is, but that's going a little further than, you know, farting on the pillow.
This guy's going to come into some money in a couple of years. What does he care about some clothes? He's about to make 300.
Yeah. Fixing games.
Fixing games, apparently.
I forgot that was that Mo Hassan. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
What makes me such an incredible host to delve into the serious issues of college football.
Mind like a steel
Miller,
trap.
I got your back, buddy. I got your back. Not that way, but I don't want to live. I don't want to be your roommate. I can tell you that. But, you know, strictly from afar, free Miller Moss. I'm on his side of this dispute, and I don't even know what happened. But his general principle, don't do what Miller did. But, you know, things happen over the course of a year. All right. Expectation game this weekend. There's a few of them. And this is what I want to talk about. What are you hoping to see or fearful of seeing from the following teams? Because I'm going to start with the game that will be over referendumed for sure, one way or the other. They're trying to downplay the culture war here. They're trying to downplay everything. Last year, I'm talking Colorado, Nebraska, of course. Last year, Deion Sanders said it was personal. There was some dispute because the Nebraska players stood on the Buffalo's logo. There was some upset because Matt Rhule, when he took the Nebraska job, said this line, "There won't be a camera following me around. Wanted to always be about the players." Shedeur Sanders took that as a shot at Deion Sanders. Quote, "The coach said a lot of things about my pops, about the program, but now that he want to act nice, I don't respect that because you're hating on another man. You shouldn't do that. It was just all respect gone for them and their program." So it was kind of juicy. And Pat, you were there, but this time we've already had Matt Rhule said, "These guys are great. I have a ton of respect for them. They have a culture of competition." And then Deion Sanders said, "I have a ton of respect for Matt Rhule." He talked about him, those two, and Kenny Dillingham and several others who had a lot of work to do last year. Dillingham, the Arizona State coach. "I feel like we're a fraternity, so I root for that class of head coaches that came in last year. Rhule was a professional, did a phenomenal job. though there's a little line here, made maybe not the job he aspired to do, but a ton of experience. And I love what he's accomplished in his college coaching career. Anyway, they're downplaying.
I heard that, Danny.
I heard it too. Coach Prime doesn't just anyway, they're tamping it down, but this is going to be overreacted too. I don't know. This is just words, but let's start with you, Ross. What is it you either expect or fear, or what do you want to see out of? Let's just start with Colorado.
Well, I mean, my biggest thing in this game is the matchup of Travis Hunter defensively against Raiola and his receivers, specifically Isaiah Nayar, the new receiver at Nebraska. I think he had like 100 yards receiving or something in the opener. So him against Hunter, Raiola, just that dynamic, that matchup there is pretty exciting. We saw Travis Hunter, you know, excel obviously on both sides of the ball in the season opener. But he's gonna obviously have a pretty big test here because Raiola looked good. I know the competition wasn't great, but that's the matchup I'm kind of watching. But you know, in general, this is a pretty big game for Colorado and Dion. It feels like these are the kinds of games. You know, Nebraska is a second year coach as well with Matt Rhule. So these two programs are kind of sort of supposed to be in a similar kind of situation. Maybe this game and this result of this game will tell us the trajectory of either program. I hate to boil it down to one game, but that's what we do.
Oh, yeah, that is what we do and will do. And yes, the referendums will be flying during and after this game, probably before too, but it's fascinating, like being on social media during a Colorado game, because the opinions are wild and vicious. And, you know, I mean, it's to the both extremes and on to every single play, you know. Dion's a master. Dion's an idiot. Shadur is great. Shadur's overrated. There is a certain subset of people, they're fairly predictable people, that just fly to the opposite extremes on Colorado. And it is a remarkable commentary kind of on sports fans, on society, and the polarity of Dion, you know, and how people react to him. I want to see, I'm really excited to see Dylan Raiola play in a big-time game. I am very interested to see whether Colorado has a well-rounded enough team to win a game like this. They've got superstars. Do they have enough other players? Do they have linemen? Do they have enough defensive players? Their defense was really bad in the first half against North Dakota State, and then much better in the second half. They made adjustments. They did some things there. But, you know, are they a well-rounded enough team in year two here for Coach Prime to go to Lincoln, when this is going to be, I bet, as lit up as Lincoln has been since who knows when for this game? And can you walk in and handle it? And they handled going to TCU last year, but this is going to be a little different animal. Matt Rhule is inherently not controversial, so it's kind of hilarious that there was anything to tamp down. You know, he's a pretty good guy and just a ball coach, you know. So for him to be hooked into any controversy is, again, part of the heat and light that surrounds Coach Prime. I don't really care, you know, how well they all get along or that sort of thing, but I just want to see who's going to win this game.
Yeah, Matt Rhule just wants to coach. And he's got a confidence level that he doesn't need to. He's a very, very confident guy. Like, we're going to do this and it'll probably work. And just do, you know, he's not lashing out looking for attention or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Colorado, like you said, everything swings on a dime and everyone's waiting for it to fall apart this year.
Oh, yeah.
Pending how this goes would either put a lot of fuel to that fire. It's a Prime's a fraud, Prime's leaving, Prime this, Prime that. I don't know. that isn't actually how it goes. But I will say, last year when things started going bad, they got bad really quick, and they never really could recover. Now the schedule was tougher at that stage, but it will be a significant test. I want to see how Shedeur Sanders plays. Is this really a top 10 NFL draft pick or not? But these are two. Prime has decided he does not want to try to go through the high school ranks. Does not seem to be something you'd be building long term. We've talked earlier this week about the you live by the portal, you die by the portal. You got to hit and hit and hit and hit, and we'll see if he's hit enough. I thought the North Dakota State game. I can't take much out of week ones. That's a quality program, and I know everyone was down. Oh, look at Colorado's not any good. Let's put a respect on the Bison. They're pretty well. So there'll be a significant amount. I guess we talked about what we're looking to see out of Nebraska here, but this is a big game. Neither team is ranked, and we'll get to
it. Feels like a ranked game.
It feels like it.
It does. Yeah. It does. Yeah.
And the winner will be ranked.
Yeah.
Neither team is ranked now, and neither team was really in almost anyone's playoff projections. Yet this feels like a huge game. That is the Deion Sanders effect.
Totally.
You'd hear a little, maybe Nebraska could get in there as like the fourth Big Ten team, or obviously the Big 12's wide open, but that is it. All right, Texas. What would you like? They're visiting Michigan, obviously, on Saturday noon. What would you like to see out of Texas, Pat? Or what would you afraid of seeing?
The first thing I want to say there, elite uniform matchup. Texas road whites to me are the best road uniforms in college football. The Michigan home blues are maybe the second best home uniform behind UCLA, for my taste.
UCLA all white.
I like UCLA's powder blue at home better.
That's pretty strong too.
But
anyway,
the wildly subjective but completely lightning rod opinions on uniforms. This is as good as it gets, and they've only played one time. And they were wearing these same uniforms. Vince Young ran around on Michigan in the Rose Bowl in 2004. Anyway, I want to see. I think Texas is a better team this year. They should be, especially early in the year here, while Michigan's still trying to figure out some things, especially at quarterback. So I want to see Texas go in and take care of business, handle this game. They proved a whole lot last year when they went into Tuscaloosa and won. So there's probably less to prove of Texas is back. Sark can win the big games. They've done that, but this is now you're going into a different part of the country, taking on the reigning national champions. There's going to be 110,000 people there. You're going to step up and not just win, but maybe dominate. There are touchdown favorites a lot in Ann Arbor, but I think they've just got better players at key positions, or at least more proven players right now at key positions. The offense versus defense matchup is going to be excellent, because I think Michigan defense is excellent and the Texas offense is very good, even with the running back injuries they've had. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'm not like Texas. I'm less curious, I guess, what I want to see, but I have maybe higher expectations.
Yeah. Pat mentioned the Michigan defense. They are stout in the defensive front. It's got a couple of NFL players there on it. And Texas's offensive line is arguably the best in the country. Returned all but one starter. I think they have like over 120 career starts combined. I'm really watching that front. Everybody is anticipating that Texas would challenge Georgia and Alabama for the SEC championship this year. And in order to do that, you got to win at the line of scrimmage. And I think this will be a really big test to see that Texas offensive line can do that in the SEC, if they can do it maybe on the road against this Michigan front. So in the trenches, Dan, the old in the trenches battle.
Uh, I'm going to echo a lot of what Pat said. To me, this is an opportunity for Texas to show, yeah, we're gonna win the national title. We're gonna come up here, and we're gonna dominate this game. We're gonna be the better team. This is a fully formed operation at Texas. They've got players everywhere. They've got depth. This was almost the championship game last year. I mean, they've lost on what last play to Washington or something close to it. This is Texas at its best, probably since the peak of the Mac Brown era. And I look at Texas and say, this is kind of what Michigan was last year, where you just look and go, where's the weakness here? Michigan, if you're good, if you're national championship good, you should be able to handle Michigan, even up in Ann Arbor. And so that's what I want to see. If Texas is serious, they can make a massive statement about who they are. And we're that old time team that's just, we don't need to find anything. We're here for the season. We're rolling, and we could go undefeated or something close to that. So that's what I'm going to try to find on Texas. I think they need to have a big game here.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. It's a bit of a parallel to when they won the national championship in 2005, when they went to Columbus. I believe it was the second game of the year as well then, and showed who they were. Like, okay, that is an elite group going into a Big Ten atmosphere and handling it. And I remember Lima Swede, I think, was the hero catching passes from Vince Young. I was there for the game. But it kind of feels similar to that, where Texas has built to this point. Now, okay, you go in and show who you are.
All right. How about Michigan, Pat? What do you want to see?
Offense, passing game, what do you got? Davis Warren, can you make some plays? If not, Alex Orji, can you make some plays? Can you throw the ball downfield? What's the level of evolution there from week to week? It's so interesting. Last year, J.J. McCarthy was very good but wasn't asked to carry a lot because the running game was so good. And then the defense obviously was so good. They just – that, what you said, Dan, they didn't have weaknesses. They didn't have to have somebody carrying the operation. This year, it sure feels like this would be a nice time for a big game for Donovan Edwards, who has had flashes of incredible play, but also very inconsistent. And so I am curious to see. He had 11 carries for 27 yards, which last week against Fresno, which kind of goes back to what he was for most of last year, until he completely blew up in the championship game. Can you get him loose? Because once he's loose, he's awfully hard to catch. I think they need somebody to step up and say, I can make big plays. Colston Loveland could also do that, but tight ends are, it can be hard to dominate a game from that position.
Yeah, as great as Davis Warren's story is, former walk-on, Dan wrote about it earlier this week, cancer survivor, 118 yards, 15 of 25, not going to get it done, which he had last week against Fresno. That's going to have to improve. Michigan's passing game is going to have to be a lot better, because as good as Michigan's defense is, I think Texas will be able to move the ball at least some. And Michigan's going to have to score more. They're going to have to find a better passing attack. This quarterback situation at Michigan could be a real issue. We see quarterback competitions like this sometimes drag into the season, and it doesn't often end well. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. So it'll be interesting to watch how they use these two. I know Alex Orji played like 10 snaps last week. They used him on the ground a little bit more than anything. But this is an interesting dynamic, what's going on there at Michigan. It of course follows right the championship season and JJ and all this stuff, and now you kind of drop down to this, and that's going to be interesting to watch against a Texas defense that's pretty, even though it's their first year in the SEC, pretty quintessential SEC. They've got fast, and they're athletic, and they're big.
Heck of a challenge. Absolutely, quarterback's been the issue the whole time. This is not the JJ McCarthy Cade McNamara battle from 2 years ago. Either guy's sitting there saying, okay, we got an NFL player, and at least a guy who's a Big Ten starter somewhere else, or coming off of a playoff season as McNamara was. J.J. McCarthy beats him out. that whole offense on last week against Fresno was basically Colson Loveland. And as Pat said, that's great. Great to have. They probably have the best tight end in college football or something close to it, but it's a tight end. And there's only so much you're going to be able to do with it. So what I would really want to see is any kind of life from the quarterback position and then the offensive line coming together. I just think Michigan, I mean, they had 13 players drafted. They had 22 or 24 get invited to the combine. Like, that's your team. Like, you can win. You got to have some elite players. And McCarthy was one. And Blake Corum, I don't think will ever maybe be fully appreciated for what he was able to do. But when you're replacing the whole offensive line, all this stuff, and then your coaches leave, Harbaugh, like, just it's just so much. And I think there's a lot of like, well, Michigan's ranked 9th or 10th because it's Michigan. Pat said, phenomenal scene. I love that this game is being played. I really love it's being played on campus.
Yes.
So much better than in Vegas or Chick-fil-A, Atlanta.
Yeah, this is a quintessential like neutral site matchup you normally see, right? Texas and Michigan. No way they're gonna play at home and home. And lo and behold, thankfully we've got a home and home.
So much better than a neutral site. I mean, it will be an absolute scene out in Ann Arbor. And I don't think I think Michigan's got to show some. To me, Michigan's about a development this year. Ride that defense until they get an offense together. And hope you get an offense together. This would be step one to kind of showing that, because we didn't see much of anything last week against Fresno. So that's it. All right. Let us go to break. We'll be back with more of this after that. All right. More on the expectation game. Pat, give me another team. We'll do round robin here. We'll do round robin. We like that. Wild card round. What? Give me a team you need to see something from this weekend.
Oregon. Man, the Ducks were not good in the opener. I mean, they came in ranked number 3. Some people talking, you know, not only making the playoff, but possibly pushing Ohio State to win the Big Ten. And they're in a tussle into the fourth quarter with Idaho. So I've got to see a little bit more from the Ducks. And this is a big game. They are playing Boise, and I think Boise is a legitimate Group of 5 playoff contender with a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender in Ashton Jeanty at running back. So, got to see the Ducks be able to run the ball. They did not run well against an FCS opponent. They made enough mistakes to just not get in the end zone. I mean, yeah, Dylan Gabriel throwing 49 times against an FCS team. So, things were just not clicking the way it was expected would happen from the Ducks. I would anticipate, you know, they will take a major step forward, but that the opponent is also much better. And in a weird twist here, that these two schools have played 3 times and Boise's won all 3. And it's not like that goes back to the 70s when Oregon sucked. I mean, this is like 2008, 2009, the LeGarrette Blount punch out of Byron Hout. They played in a bowl game in the 2010s.
Pulled out the Byron Hout. I mean, couldn't he just move on with his life?
He cannot. He got decked on national TV live. It was a sucker punched, thing.
Although he was kind of
totally.
He was chirping totally a little at LeGarrette. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad guy to run your mouth.
Not the guy you want to do that to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree on that, Ross.
Yeah. That's also would have probably been my pick. A good pick. Look at Dan. Pat made a good selection in the draft.
Good job, Pat.
How about that?
Maligned, right. Unfairly maligned in past drafts.
Gimme Clemson. I want to see Clemson against App State in what could be an interesting game. We saw Clemson play Georgia. There's been a lot made this week of Dabo, the transfer portal, the decline of Clemson, all of this stuff. It seems like every time that happens, that we hear that buzz and all that, they end up coming and winning 5 straight, and then Dabo gives us the line of buy stock in the Tigers, Dan. So App State is obviously a G5 program that's been pretty successful over the years. I don't know that this year that they were predicted to have one of their best teams, but They still have good players, and I think that I think more so than what the result of the game is, because I think most would believe that Clemson will win. It's how do they look, and can they move the ball? Can Kay Klubnik, Garrett Riley, the offensive coordinator, get them going moving the football? We've just seen the struggle offensively, not in this, just the Georgia game, but the last couple years with Clemson and moving the football. So that is one to watch. Can the Tigers actually not just win, but win in an impressive way that gives fans and everybody a little better feeling about them offensively going into the rest of the year?
I'm going to say I'm going to go with Iowa. They're hosting Iowa State. It's a little bit of both teams. I have a lot of promise in both teams, but this feels like the latter game right here that we're going to find out which one's legit. Iowa, I'll just do it via Iowa because they scored 40 points famously last week. Granted, it was against Illinois State.
Doesn't matter. To be against air, for them to score 40 points right. is significant.
The offense should be better. Everything else should be back. We get cheating Kirk Ferentz back from his suspension.
The outlaw Kirk Ferentz is back.
The outlaw, I like it. He really should go with that. He's like kind of giving Gundy a little bit of a, high plains or, I don't know, cornfield, sweet corn outlaw. But if that is an offense and they are able to beat what I think is a pretty darn good Iowa State team that is going to either contend or be a pain in the neck throughout the Big 12 season for a lot of teams, then Iowa can kind of got some juice here. And you look at their schedule. Yeah, they're at Ohio State, but they avoid everybody else that really scares you in the Big Ten, and you're going to be talking Iowa all season. So I want to see which one of these teams out there at the Cy-Hawk get something going. I already know all the fans are going to be bombed. So I got that. Mm-hmm. I already know that. It's a great scene. Cy-Hawk, one of the great underrated games of the season.
It is. Bet the under.
Punt. Punting is winning, Pat. Punting.
Oh, yeah. No, winning. The air will be filled with punts yet again.
I think the winner of this game, I was totaling up the last 5 years of this rivalry series, and the winner of this game has averaged 17 points. Yeah. The winner!
Why were you adding that up? This is stuff
I was bored.
People in Cedar Rapids do like that. Let's how many punts we got? All right. I mean, good for you, but
I was doing some research on that too, and I mean it is low scoring, and if Iowa State wins, it's always close. It's like 3 points or less the last 5 times they've won.
Doesn't it have to be like 40 degrees too, even though it's like the second week of September? It has to be gray and 40.
It will 100% be gray. It may sneak up to like 70 something, but it will be gray.
Yeah.
Still good lake weather up there, right? The lake.
Lake will be empty.
People going to go to the game?
Get the TV on the lake. I don't know.
Pontoon out, all that good stuff.
Pat, you got a second round pick after your stellar first round pick?
Of course I do. Okay, yeah. Of course I do. I'm on fire here, baby. I'm taking back my draft status.
We're going to pick games later. Just,
but this is just stuff we're interested in looking at.
Narrative stuff.
Stillwater Mullet, Arkansas, Oklahoma State.
Great game.
Great game. Two neighborhood teams. I mean, they're very close to each other there. It's probably, I don't know, 2 hours drive, maybe?
1 hour by tumbleweed.
A lot of hog people will be making the trek west, I think, to Stillwater for that. Did you see where Gundy is doing his radio show now?
From a
senior so care good. Facility?
So good.
Classic Gundy, I mean... And he, to a degree, he's already like an angry old man. He's lost.
He's
any
with his people.
Concern? Yes, he's lost any concern about what anybody thinks about anything he says. So he's just popping off left and right. And I showed a picture of him sitting there in front of a whole bunch of people wearing their orange T-shirts. They're like, yeah, that's right, Coach Gundy's telling the truth.
Hold on, because this is a great story. How about the poor Sooner fan that checked into the assisted living facility to live out his days, right? A place for mom, right? A place for mom. This looks like, they have nice nurses, and there's a little, we have bridge club and book club. And then all of a sudden they hate, they're a big Sooner fan. And every damn week, the mullet shows up on Tuesday at 10. Just, they're just upstairs raging. Jumping on their, you know, go Sooner mess, go Sooner 86. This is how,
that's right.
Also, yeah, that's just tremendous. But I do applaud, after Gundy's 1,000 times drinking beers and driving, much better than doing this at one of those Stillwater bars. This is where you get an audience.
Yeah, you can go have some cream corn and some steamed broccoli at lunch.
Another question from Millard or whatever. There's no Tyler from Spartanburg down there. They're going to be nice.
Oh, no.
Maybe not.
That's right. Well, that's true. But yeah, I know somebody that actually went to school there when it was called Oklahoma A&M, probably asking him questions. Oh. But anyway, for the game itself, is Arkansas significantly improved or not? They scored 70 against poor Pine Bluff. You know, that was a mismatch. Doesn't tell you anything. But Bobby Petrino, game plan, what's he bringing to Stillwater? Again, then Ollie Gordon, what's he going to do for Oklahoma State there? And Alan Bowman, they got their resident, like, mid-20s quarterback for the Cowboys. That's another one of those, feels a little like a ladder game to me, Dan, where winner has some legitimate optimism, loser's like, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were going to be.
I'm going to take Tennessee and NC State. An interesting matchup. They're playing in Charlotte, neutral site game. And obviously the best player on the field is Nico, quarterback at Tennessee. Last year kind of tore it up against, it was just against Chattanooga, but over 300 yards, 3 TDs. The stuff coming out about him has been pretty incredible. You just hear what he's like in camp and in the off season. There's a ton of hype. I don't know that there's been a quarterback that has signed with more hype than this kid in a while. And part of that is because of NIL. We all remember a couple of years ago about the price that was paid allegedly in NIL money to him, a couple million dollars a year. So this is the guy to watch. Dan, I know you like him, or at least like his prospects to excel.
He's looking
maybe
great.
win a pretty big trophy. Huh?
I think he could win the Heisman next year. But yeah. I like Tennessee to the playoff this year. So, and I like him hosting a game. And so, yeah, I agree. First test in Charlotte, that game. Going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, it's that Duke's Mayo matchup.
Kickoff game.
Sometimes first week, second week. Yeah.
Do they do Mayo?
Yeah.
There will probably be some Mayo involved.
Yeah, I'm sure imagine so.
Big Mayo. Because they throw Mayo on every sandwich, unless you tell them not to.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, that's going to be. And a lot of hype for NC State, too.
Well, yeah. NC State, we saw last week. They struggled against FCS Western Carolina. Struggled to like block. So this will be interesting. And another thing to watch with Tennessee, and I like Dan's pick of them, you know, being a playoff team, because they not only have this offense with this quarterback, but their defensive front, maybe one of the best in the country. Couple of potential first round draft picks, including James Pierce. So that should be a good one. I mean, again, the expectation is Tennessee should win that game. But it's an interesting matchup, SEC, ACC. Watching that one.
So I'll give you one game. It's Michigan State, Maryland. Michigan State's visiting Maryland. I know this isn't probably top of mind for many. For Michigan State, I want to see what Jonathan Smith did. Not a great opener they had. The offense wasn't great. All that, whatever. First game, first coach. What kind of progress is Michigan State going to have this year? And it's the first kind of test for Jonathan Smith's program. And I want to see what Maryland does. And Maryland is continuing to make moves with Mike Locksley that we have seen. This is a game they should be able to handle. But how close is this? Where does Michigan State rank up? Going to be an interesting result both ways. Maryland could win, and it's a close game, and I'd feel pretty good if I'm a Spartan. But I think I like that one in the Big Ten. Kind of similar. We're going to move on to other stuff, but South Carolina, Kentucky, a little bit. Kentucky, if they're for real as we think, I think Pat's had them as a dark horse playoff team, should be able to handle South Carolina. But, like, where is the South Carolina program right now? So those are a couple kind of under the radar ones that I think are pretty pretty interesting to look at. One note, Florida is going to start DJ Lagway against Samford after the disaster in the swamp last week. I'm not surprised. Lagway looked super talented. And, like, listen, if you're going to go into this season, you got to do something. They got to put talent on the field. And so if this is going to be salvaged for Billy Napier, I would play Lagway too. This gives him a chance right off the bat against Samford to kind of develop, take over for Graham Mertz. He's also walked back some quotes. The quote he said, he was frustrated with the, obviously the situation. He mentioned the team needed to not care, quote, what some guy in his basement is saying in rural Central Florida on social media. Very specific.
Yeah. Yeah, some people in rural Central Florida is like, you talking to me?
Yeah, well, as Paul Feinbaum appropriately pointed out, not a lot of basements in Florida.
No.
You dig down and you're underwater. No. So I don't know where he got that. And what is the problem with basements? What do you got against basements? Why does everyone hate the basement?
It's dark and dingy.
Like, you lose sensibilities if you're in the basement?
I think you do. Maybe you lose. Yes, you're underground, Dan.
Go ahead, Pat.
The inference is, of course, that you are a deadbeat child still living in your parents' basement.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the cliche here.
Well,
but some people like their basements. I mean, I've been in a lot of people's basements. They're a little party basement.
I like my basement. Fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot of
basement bars are good.
Basement bars.
Basement offices, not as good.
Right.
First off, if they said the Gators sucked last week, I don't care what floor of the house they were on. They were right.
They were right.
Yeah. Those people in their second floor, rural Central, you know,
urban house. South Florida. Yeah. If you were on, like,
in their South Florida mansion.
Yeah.
Can go to
the second floor of Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. It was appropriate, but not in the basement of some Billy Napier. Obviously didn't explain myself the way I should have there. I want to make it very clear. There's no reference to our fans. I was just talking specifically about life in general. Our young people live in an era where social media is part of their lives. Indeed. Indeed. It can be tough out there on all that. So we've got that.
Hey, Dan, one more thing in terms of matchup I'm looking at. I am wearing an Eastern Kentucky shirt right now. EKU plays at Western Kentucky, ancient rivalry in the state.
Yeah.
It's a Western Kentucky whiteout game. They've planned, you know, everybody wear white. Team's going to wear white. Oh, except Eastern Kentucky is exercising their option as the visiting team to wear their road whites and to make Western wear red. Western Kentucky, not very happy, but that's the kind of petty you want from an in-state rivalry. Doesn't have to be Alabama-Auburn for there to be petty. EKU versus WKU, yeah, they don't like each other.
I saw that statement was great.
Yes, a passive-aggressive statement from
very, WKU. Very much, very much.
Eastern and Western, man, battling it out. Kentucky, they're looking for reasons to fight. They're looking for reasons to throw down. The whiteout.
Always.
All right, we'll be back right after this. All right, let's actually pick these games. Race for the case time. We have, look who's leading the standings. Me, 4-2.
Definitely not me.
No, 1-4-1.
I'm sure I'm last.
You're last, 1-4-1. Pat, 2-4. Yeah. Joe, 3-3.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, I'll take my glorious first place so far. Texas giving 7 we've got in here against at Michigan. I've seen it 7.5. Games at noon on Fox out of Ann Arbor. Ross, who you got?
This seems like a big number, especially on the road at somewhere like Michigan, but I really like Texas. We talked about it earlier in the show. I know that Michigan's defense is pretty stout, but I just don't think Michigan's going to be able to score a lot on Texas. So if Texas can get to, you know, into the 20s, 20, 24 points. I think they can win by seven or more. So give me the Longhorns to on the road cover that one.
Yeah, I've changed my mind. I thought the spread was too much, and I was going with the home dog. But the more I've gotten closer to this game, I agree that Michigan's really going to struggle to score. I think it's going to be low scoring. That's why the over-under right now, I think, is 42.5, and that sounds about right. But I'd maybe even go under that. I could see Texas winning that one like 21-10 or something. So I'm going to take the Horns and give the point, especially now that it's gone down to a flat 7 as opposed to 7 in the hook.
Pat, you had my thoughts exactly on this one. That Michigan offense is brutally just awful to watch. And I don't know if they're going to be able to pick up any steam going into this game. This Texas team looked really good against Colorado State. So taking Texas to cover 7 feels capable for them. And if they win by 10, it's not really a blowout. Feels like a pretty handed win, a confident win. So I'm going to take Texas as well to cover that 7.
Yeah, hook them. I agree with all this. Michigan would have to prove to me they got an offense. And if they want to do that on Saturday, then go right ahead. But until then, I'm taking Texas in this one. Win, cover, and probably win handily. Tennessee giving 8.5 against NC State. Vols are ranked 15th. Wolfpack 24 games at Charlotte, as we said. 7:30 Saturday night, ABC. Pat.
Lay them. I think Tennessee's the significantly better team. NC State is actually still ranked, but was shaky in the opener, as Ross alluded to. Nico Iamaleva has gotten off to a very fast start. I see James Pierce rushing off the edge, getting after Grayson McCall there. More playmakers on Tennessee's side, more overall quality. So I'm going to roll with the Vols.
Same. It seems like too big of a number, especially for like a neutral site game. But after Wolfpack's performance in the opener, I have little to no faith they're going to be able to keep up with Nico and the Vols. And Tennessee's defense also good. I think Tennessee is kind of a sleeper, CFP sleeper, SEC championship type sleeper. And so give me the Vols to cover the 8.5.
For some reason, I watched way too much of this NC State game last Thursday. And for anyone who caught it, Ross, you brought this up earlier, their offensive line really struggled against Western Carolina, which is ranked FCS team, but not a team you're supposed to be struggling with. Flip side, I mean, Nico I looked like the next coming of great SEC quarterback. 8.5 does not feel like that's a number that's too hard for them to cover. I think they're going to smoke them. I think that this is going to be a bloodbath potentially. And afterwards, we're going to be talking some serious hype for Tennessee.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I think they host a playoff game. I'm all about Tennessee in this one. Too much offense, too much defense. Really like this team until we see otherwise. Any reason not to, but they look tremendous. Granted, in a tune-up, but we did mention this game. South Carolina at Kentucky. Kentucky is giving 10, 3:30 on ABC. Ross?
Well, another one of these games where you look to the opener, and I hate for one game of the opener to alter my opinion or impact my pick in some way, but that's what's happening. But South Carolina really, really struggled in the opener. At some point, it was tight there with Old Dominion. And Pat, and you have talked about it during the preseason, but Kentucky is maybe some kind of sleeper to get in there and get in the race, the SEC. So it is a big number, but I'm going to again go with the favorite here. Give me the Wildcats to cover it.
I'm actually gonna go with the Cocks here to cover the 10. I think that's just a little bit too much. It feels like probably a touchdown game. This has been generally a pretty close competitive series. South Carolina's won the last 2 and 3 of the last 5. And Shane Beamer tends to hit the high notes. I'm not saying they win, but I think he's got his team ready to play as well as South Carolina can. And Kentucky, under Mark Stoops, has won a lot of games, but they've also let a lot of teams that aren't as good as they are hang around. They do tend to play a little bit to the level of the competition. So that's why I'm anticipating this being close. So Kentucky wins, South Carolina covers.
I'm taking Kentucky just like Ross did. Man, they looked like a freaking mess against Old Dominion. And it's not like one of those games for me where you watch them go up against G5 and maybe they're still figuring stuff out, new quarterback, but they could barely throw the ball. Nick Harbor, who's supposed to be the star, doesn't even get any touches. Their defense looked really good, but they couldn't block against Old Dominion's front seven. Kentucky's got a really good defense, and I think that they're going to expose them. 10 almost feels light. This could be really on a splattering watch to be a lopsided game.
All right, that was a good. He had some good points. Joe had good points.
Thank you, Dan.
Joe actually is paying attention.
Actual substance.
All right,
I got to say, he was only 3-3 in the first week.
Okay. So. You can't.
But you did. You nailed the Clemson Georgia game. You crushed that call.
I got that one right. All right, I'm going to take Kentucky. I don't know. This 10 is tough.
I'm lone cock.
You sound so confident, Dan.
If I could do it again, just so Pat wouldn't say that, I'd take South Carolina. I already hate my pick. What the heck? There we are. All right, what do we got next? We got Colorado at Nebraska. Nebraska's giving 7.5. Pat, go first and redeem yourself.
This one, I am purely going with the theory that Deion zigs when everybody else zags, and when you think he's done, he produces. When you think he's great, he underproduces. So I'm saying they cover. They might even outright win. I would expect Shedeur Sanders to play excellently. They've got playmakers. They make plays. If they can get enough stops defensively, that's the big question. But taking on a freshman quarterback, maybe Dylan Rayola makes a couple mistakes and Colorado's in it. And the longer they're in this game, the more the pressure shifts to Big Red. So I'm going to take Colorado to cover and possibly win outright.
I'm not meaning to do this, but I think this is 4 in a row of taking the favorite. But just one of those weeks. Given my record last week, I'll do anything to change how that went. So give me Nebraska. I think they'll cover at home. I think Rayola has a big, big day. And I think the Deion train is heading downward.
I'm going to take Colorado at the very least to cover. Feels like a game where he's going to rally everybody. Deion's going to rally everybody to be hyped up for this matchup. As we know, he's always looking for a way to, you know, them against the world, and this is the perfect situation. 7.5 points feels ridiculously big. And the other thing that I keep coming back to with this, Dylan Raiola, true freshman, as exciting as he was against UTEP, I'm not going to put my faith into that kid to cover this spread and to win by over 7 points. At the very least, Colorado loses by, let's say, maybe a field goal, and they're able to orchestrate enough big splash plays like they had against North Dakota State to get back into it if there is any separation.
I like Colorado. That's too many points. I'm just going to take Colorado getting those points. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a close game. And I did not think they were that bad against North Dakota State. They got to be better, but that was an excellent tune-up for them. So I'm going to take Colorado with those points. Arkansas at number 17, Oklahoma State. Cowboys giving 7.5. Game is noon at on ABC. The Colorado-Nebraska game, 7:30. On NBC, just before. But noon, you can watch Razorbacks versus Pokes. I don't know who goes first. Ross?
Yeah, this one I am taking the underdog. Give me Arkansas. I like the way Taylen Green played last week. Bobby Petrino's first game as an OC last week. They look really good. And even though they're on the road, Oklahoma State, one of the favorites to win the Big 12, I think they stay within certainly a touchdown, if not winning the game outright. So I think the Hogs are back, Dan.
Back.
All right. Oklahoma State does not tend to be a fast starting team in the season to start the season. Remember last year, they kind of muddled in their opening against Central Arkansas. They got smoked by South Alabama. So I'm anticipating Arkansas maybe being just a little sharper here. And that is a hallmark of a Petrino offense. Those offenses tend to be ready from game one. He puts in a lot of offseason work, and I think that the Hogs are ready enough to cover the spread there. So I'm rolling with the Razorbacks, as was Ross.
I know this game has like nothing to do with this, but I can't help keep coming back to the Vanderbilt game where we thought Virginia Tech was going to be this really good team. They're probably good for ACC standards, but it reminded us that if you're a quality competitive SEC team, you're going to be able to handle yourself in these situations against the Big 12 and the ACC. 7 points feels like a lot. I actually wouldn't be shocked if Arkansas doesn't pull out this upset and win this game. Talen Green and Jaquindon Jackson's a perfect doing for what Petrino looks for in his offensive attack. So maybe they pull out this upset. I think there's certainly a possibility for it.
Yeah, too many points again. I'll take Arkansas. Very similar to call. I think they'll be close, and I think they could win it. But they're going to score points with Petrino. And, you know, this team's been doubted, written off, everything. I'm just going to give Arkansas the bit. All right, lock of the week. Joe, I think you already have one, so you want to go first?
Oh. Well, yeah, I wrote this down to get ahead, but all right, I got some great analysis here for this one. So this game against
he's preps. Look, he preps, Dan.
A little too.
The rest of us are like, what's the spread? What's Middle Tennessee?
I'm scrambling over here. I mean,
I already put money down on this one. I feel so
sneezing.
So
I got trucks backing up down the alley.
This game against App State for Clemson, 17-point line. But does this not feel like the perfect opportunity for Dabo to just light up the scoreboard for no reason against the G5 opponent and then to show up in the press conference on Monday and tell everybody off and say, oh, you were trying to tell me I need to go in the transfer portal. Look what we did against App State of all teams. So this feels like the total, hey, everybody, look at me. Stop blaming me for leading this program into the ground type of a situation for Dabo.
How about that? He buries Clemson 1 week and then raises him the next.
I don't like Clemson.
Fickle media. Fickle media. You don't like Clemson.
Anti-Clemson. All right.
I'm going with Marshall getting 20.5 against Virginia Tech. And this could blow up spectacularly on me if Virginia Tech, you know, gets religion after the loss to Vanderbilt and stops making mistakes and just plays better. They might well cover 3 touchdowns. But keep in mind, Charles Huff, coach at Marshall, is a big game hunter. Beat Notre Dame in South Bend. Beat Virginia Tech last year. Nearly beat NC State last year. Lost by 7 there. He gets his teams ready for the P5 games, and they think they'll be ready to go into Blacksburg and at least keep it close. He talked to him a little bit in the offseason. He thinks this team has a chance to be pretty good. A lot of new places, new faces in new places, but they got off to a good start. You know, didn't play much of anybody. I think it was Stony Brook in the opener, but I think that was a good one to get under their belt. They should be healthy and ready and to at least keep it close against Virginia Tech.
Last year, if you guys remember, week 2, Alabama played at South Florida and almost lost. It was a pretty wild game.
Didn't play Jalen Milroe, right? That was the game.
Yeah.
Didn't play Jalen Milroe. They started Tyler Buchner.
Yeah, and then they played a couple quarterbacks, right? Then they put in the third stringer.
Yeah.
At some point. They were going deep on the bench.
It was
there.
Like Saban was reacting to the message boards, like play somebody else. Like, well, here you go.
Yeah. Here you go. This is what we look like. And almost lost in the end. This year they'll host South Florida, and if you watched Alabama last week, boy, they looked really good. And I know they didn't play the toughest competition, but they're a 30.5-point favorite at home against South Florida. Give me the Tide to roll and cover the 30 this year. It's not going to be close. Kalen DeBoer's got the guys playing well. Jalen Milroe lit it up last week. I think that we'll see a big Tide win here. Not going to be a replay of the 2023 game down there in Tampa.
So I'm going to take Boise State, get 19.5 at Oregon. We mentioned this game earlier. Oregon's got a lot to prove on offense. Boise State went to Georgia Southern, played really well, won a game. They could run the ball. They can shorten the clock. 19.5. I don't know if the Broncos win, it would be a monumental victory in terms of both just beating Oregon, shaking up a playoff chase and putting a lot of pressure on Oregon now to do really well in the Big Ten, and set Boise State up as the group of five potential representative. I mean, just a massive game, all of that. But you're giving me 19.5. I'll take it. I'll take Boise State on that. I wanted to pick Vanderbilt because our favorite QB, Diego Pavea, mentioned that he and his offensive lineman had bonded over going to Raising Cane's all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're big fans of the butter on both sides toast. And he noted he may be gaining weight during the season. But I like a team that bonds over Raising Cane's. But they're playing Alcorn. There's not a spread. To me, if you're at Raising Cane's all week, you're going to win on Saturday. I think that might be the key to everything.
So. I think Diego might be like our go-to guy. He might be the pod player of the year. We'll see how it plays out. Not? But early on, he's giving us content.
A lot of content there. All right, that's our show. We appreciate everybody listening, sharing us on social media. We've had great numbers of listeners so far this year, so we really appreciate everyone coming back, getting into it. Tell your friends, season's not the same without us. I don't know whether that's better or worse, but it's not the same. I can tell you that. We'll be back on Sunday night. We'll have the overreaction or certainly for your drive on Monday. So appreciate you. We will talk to you later.